Parshas Emor begins with the laws relating to the Kohanim, to the priests, and moves into various aspects of korbanos, of animals that are proper to be brought as a korban, and concludes with the laws of the holidays, with the chagim, starting with Shabbos, and then moving from Pesach, Svirsa Omer, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. I'd like to focus in on a question that is raised by the Mefarshim that's really connected to the idea of Yontif in general. And that's the Kriyas HaTorah that we find for the first days of Sukkot, first day Chol HaMoed of Pesach. And that is that this section from Parshas Emor is read in Shul because indeed it talks about the holidays. What is fascinating, and this will be our question for today, and in so doing, learn about this particular pasuk as well as an overview of the Chagim and Sfiras Omer and Shavuos in particular, being the time that we're in, is that the Kriyas HaTorah, and I photocopied here in Source 1 from the Art Scroll, Machzor, and Sukkot, the Kriyas HaTorah does not begin as one would have thought. From Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, speak to them, to say to them, Hashem's appointed festivals that you are to proclaim as a holy convocation. That's how we have thought where the Kriyas HaTorah should begin. But rather it begins 7 verses earlier, where it says, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, when a bull, a sheep, or a goat is born, it shall remain under its mother for 7 days, and from the 8th day on is it acceptable as for a fiery offering to Hashem. And then it goes on how you can't kill a cow and its mother on the same day. It goes through a little bit about how you have to die al Kiddush Hashem, v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, the importance of creating Kiddush Hashem. And then, after these 7 psukim, does it enter into the actual Shabbos and festivals. So the question the Farshim asks, it's the question that's brought in Shari Chaim in source number 3, Madu matzu chazal kesher ben parasha zu sheyoseket b'dinei korbanos upsuleihem l'moed hashana. What's the connection between the laws of the korbanos and the moadim? Why do we begin this section here? And that's the question that I'd like to address today. And I'd like to perhaps even specify our question even a bit more. If this is the pasuk that's chosen, that shor o kesev o eiz ki valeid, that you have to be with its mother for 7 days, umayom hashmini vahala yiratzel korban, from the 8th day on it should be a sacrifice, this almost forms the topic sentence, if you will, for the entire Kriyas HaTorah. So there must be something about this pasuk that is going to inform us not only of the specific halacha, you have to wait till the 8th day to bring this animal as a korban, but it's going to somehow reflect on the entire Kriyas HaTorah. Somehow it's going to give us a focus, an insight on the entire Kriyas HaTorah, and obviously we have to ask, what is this insight, what is this focus? So the Art Scroll Machzor in source number 2 offers us one explanation why it's here, because on the holiday sacrifices were offered. Rav Nevenzal, who has a whole essay on this question, notes that it's particularly found here because on the holidays so many sacrifices were needed, right? You have the Korban Re'iyah, you have the Korban of the Shlosh Regalim, and therefore since so many sacrifices were offered, we have to warn the people, be careful, you know, you're just going to grab an animal. You need it as a sacrifice. No. You have to make sure you wait 7 days. You have to make sure not to kill it and its mother on the same day. That's why these laws are here as an introduction to the festivals. The Shari Chaim, source number 3, based on Targum Yonasan, offers another approach. There are various approaches that are found. I'd like to suggest that we analyze 3 approaches and how this is a topic sentence, what is its placement here, what do we learn from this. And I'd like to utilize as our model the title. The first level is about perfecting, the second level is about perfect, and the third level is about perfection. And let's take a look, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, at all three levels. Level number one, again, the Shari Chaim. He quotes the Gemara in Baba Kama that says, we learn from this pasuk, Shur ki valed, ki shur ben yomo karui shur. Ve'ein hevdel ben shem hashur b'shat le'dato, lishmo kavur zman rab. And he talks about the halachic ramifications in terms of stealing, which we're not going to get into today. But the basic idea is, Shur ki yivaleh. Generally, when an ox is born, as we know, many animals, they have like a calf and a cow. Its name changes, you know, after the first year, from a small to a big. Having said this, Shur o kesef o eis ki yivaleh. Nevertheless, when an animal is born, it's born as this animal. In a real sense, it doesn't change its entity. When a shur is born, it is an ox. All right, the name may change, but the entity doesn't change. It's the same animal. It may get bigger, may get fatter, may get older, but the shur ki yivaleh, when a shur is born, when an ox is born, it is considered an ox. Umikan anu lemedim, source 6, al havdel yesodim ben ha'adam u'balei chayim. This is the major difference between a person and an animal. Ha'adam yesh v'kocho lishtano, we have the ability and we need to utilize this to change. V'afilu kasher lo nikar shinui chitzoni b'marehu, even if we look the same over time, but inside we have to be different people. An animal doesn't change. Kulam shavim b'chol zman. It's considered the same animal. Even if it changes externally from small to big, it's still considered the same animal. Perhaps this is the lesson that the Chazal want to teach us by putting this as the opening sentence to the Kriyas HaTorah, the Torah reading of the holidays. To teach you, one who does not grow from the holidays. So for example, he doesn't change from the Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim Pesach experience to the Sfira Saomer of Matan Torah. Harehu domel l'shur shekol yamavei no mishtaneh. Shur ki yivaleh, he is like this animal who is considered a shur the moment he's born. Unlike a person who constantly changes, who constantly grows. This is our challenge on the first level of perfecting ourselves. That on the one level, the holidays in general, as the Sichori Chaskut, Rasvi Meyer Silverberg points out in 9a, the holidays themselves have a Kedushas HaYantif. They have the Kedushas HaMitzvos. There's a certain sanctity in the time and in the commandments. Even though we know our limitations, we know that every yantif has hashpos gedolos, has tremendous energy that we gain from the kedusha of eating that matzah, from the kedusha of sitting in that sukkah. And what we have to be able to do is, v'chol yudi mekabel v'yantif, from every yantif we get kochos niflos, tremendous energy that we can come closer to Hashem the entire year. And our job is, as we say in the bracha, Vasienu Hashem Elokeinu Birkas Moedecha, literally carry me, lift me up in the bracha of the Moed. Allow me that not only should I experience the beauty of the Moed, the beauty of the holiday at its time, but allow it to carry it over to beyond the holiday. Allow it to affect me. Allow it to change me. As a Balei Musar speak about, one should never say, oh, Pesach is over. It's not over. Over means like over and done with. It's not over. It's part of me now. It's become a spiral in my life. It's become a point to ignite and inspire me. And this is what the Yetzer Hara tries to do. It tries to vaser satam mefoneinu ma'achareinu, as we spoke about a few weeks ago. Remove the satam before me and after me. From before me that it shouldn't get anything from the yantif, and after remove the satan from after the entif that tries to take away anything that I gained. And that's the way the Sfasemes and the asterisks in 9b teaches the pasuk. Vaya emuna itcha chosen Yeshua. The emuna of the time. Believing that every time, emunas b'kedusha fasmanim, believing that every time has kedusha, is chosen Yeshua's, is our protection, is our salvation, is what allows us to move on. The ratzon of Yeshua Shemayim at the end of 9b, shenishtadel lasot shmira shisharu etzleinu elu atzaros. We have to daven to Hashem that He enables us to have the shmira, this protection, that we're able to grow from holiday to holiday. So that's the first idea of the shor, oseh ki yivaleid, ois ki yivaleid. When they are born, they remain that way. We are not. This is the opening statement, shor kesef ois ki yivaleid, that as we are about to read the holidays, recognize, don't be like this animal, that an animal's an animal's an animal. Be a person, change. Allow the holidays to affect you. If that's true of all the holidays, it is even more so at the time period that we're in now, which is discussed in Parshas Emor, the times of Sfiras HaOmer, the Sheva Shabbatos Tmimos, the seven complete weeks. The time of Sfiras HaOmer is not just counting days. As the Tova Pnimi notes in Sur 7, Sfira Hilashon Ha'arav Zichuch. Sfira comes from the idea of sapphire, sapir, to illuminate, to purify. That our job when we count Sfiras HaOmer is not lo bamira bepeh bilvada davar talui. It's not just lip service of today is 23 days of the Omer. Ela ikar hu lezachech letara talev mikol minei atumos vahara. It's about purifying ourselves from all the negativity. It's about nikios vataras halev through shviras hataiva. It's breaking our desires. It's breaking our kochos of the Yetzirah. The time of Sfiras HaOmer is preparing ourselves to be able to receive us. We'll talk about at the end of Mirtz Hashem, the Ora Kedusha, the Shechina, to be able to dwell within us on Shavuos. Which means the time of Sfiras HaOmer practically is about, I'm about to say something that's not so appropriate, I stop myself. I'm going to eat something that I'm really not hungry for, it's really not healthy for me, I'm going to stop myself. I'm about to watch something I know I really shouldn't watch, or listen to something I know I shouldn't listen to, I stop myself. It's about purity. It's about sapphire. It's about polishing ourselves until we shine. And part of this polishing of Sfiras HaOmer, part of this development of being an Adam, of being a person who has this ability, unlike an animal who's born as an animal and never changes, is the personal development of self. As the Sichos Bavadat Hashem, Rav Meislish notes, this is a period of time where we recall that we have left Egypt on our way to going to receive the Torah. And the idea of leaving Egypt means leaving our Meitzarim, in Source 8, second paragraph, leaving our narrow straits, leaving our Meitzar, and to be able to expand our borders, to be able to expand our Kochos HaNefesh, who we are, to be able to uncover and reveal the tremendous potential we have in us. One of my favorite psukim, as we've discussed before, we stay in Davening, Kapitel Pei Aleph, Yud Aleph, 81:11. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, we describe Hashem as one who took us out of Egypt. Hamalcha Meretz Yisrael. Harcheiv picha v'amalehu. Open your mouth wide and I will respond to you. When we show Hashem, I have a she'if, I have a desire to be able to uncover and develop myself to even greater extent, Hashem will respond to our tefillos and show us how successful we can be and give us opportunities to be able to discover these treasures within us. And indeed, continues Rav Meislish, this is hinted at in the Pasuk. In Mishle, Beis, Dalet, 2:4, Im tevakshena ka kesef, if you search it out like silver, Ukimatmonim techapesna, and like a treasure you search it. As tavin yirat Hashem v'dat elokim timsa, then you will find the fear of God and the knowledge of God you will find. The challenge is to be able to look inside of ourselves and realize we have a treasure, and to be able to search for it and be able to have relationship with Hashem on a much deeper level, to realize how much greatness He created within me. And we know the matmonim is really a notikon of two words. Matmonim, literally treasures, is two words. Memtet, 49, monim. Monim literally means count. The 49 days of counting is the greatest treasure, because it's a time for us to discover the treasure of who we are. It's a time during the times of Sfiras HaOmer to look at ourselves and say, where can I push myself more? Where can I develop myself in areas I haven't developed myself until now? Where can I try to use life as a laboratory to learn more about myself, learn more about my opportunities to be able to develop myself to my fullest potential? You know, in the most random way, it reminds me, this is not what the Sichas Bavdat Hashem had in mind. That's okay. It's the idea of moving beyond self in many arenas. I bought this week bug-free kale, which I had never made before. And this is what we're talking about. Like, okay, how do you clean kale? How do you cook kale? How do you eat kale? Like, what is it all about? Try it, right? So instead of saying, like, what is this food? How do you even spell it? You say, no. It's supposed to be good for you. It's supposed to be healthy. How do I move out of my normal diet into including other things? And it's not only the physical diet, it's very much the spiritual diet. Taking this idea of the Shor Kesavo Eitz Kiva laid as our opening pasuk, that we can't limit ourselves, we have to learn from the animal, that we have to move beyond that stage. One further idea that comes from this is another idea that Tova Pnimin quotes in the Medrash on our pasuk. The Medrash says, Amru, source 10, Hadu Diktiv, this is what it's written, Sitkatcha Kahare El. Maharim ruyim lahazriyav osim peiros, kachat tzadikim osim peiros, umitivim latzvam ulachayrim. The Medrash compares our pasuk to mountains. Just like mountains have the ability to be planted and produce fruit, so too the tzadikim have the ability to plant and do good for others. So obviously, ask the Tova Pnimim, what is the connection between our pasuk and this Medrash? So he says that one of the answers is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, He took our neshama from a very high place. Gam lifnei sheneshama ba'a l'guf hayta chelek eloka mimal, it was part godly. Elul sha'az rak hi atzma hayta b'tachlit ha'shlemut. But it was in this state, it itself was in the place of perfection. Aval lo hayta mashlima zulata, but it couldn't perfect others. V'zoi kavanat ha'mishnah, that's what the Mishnah means. If you learn Torah, don't al tachzik tova al atzmacha. Don't think that you're so great. Because the whole point of learning Torah, it's not for you. It's in order to kilakach nosarta, to teach others. This is why you've come into the world, to perfect yourself. You could have stayed up in heaven. Why did God create man? He created man in order for man to give to others. That the best way of perfecting ourselves is kedei lashlim lacherim, is to be able to perfect others. Aval kol zeh etalad, this is only by people. Aval behema, but animals, already when they're born, shleimim ein mitachlis hashleimus, they can't complete themselves anymore. Ke'en lehem al lifol ba'olam, they have nothing to do in this world. Because as they are, this is who they are. This is why the Medrash says, Sitratcha kahareel, we have to be like tzaddikim, unlike animals. And our whole job is to plant, to be able to enable others to learn, to be able to help others reach perfection. And this is the idea the Shvili Pinchas points out in source number 12. He says, when the animals were created, it says, Vayar Elokim Kitov, that Hashem saw it was good. This idea of being good was not said when man was created. Why? Because animals were created as animals, beginning and end, finished, they're good. But man, it doesn't say that, because man wasn't created as its final piece. That's the idea, he notes in the Aaron 12 of Pinchas Friedman, in Naase Adam, in the plural, not as God says, I, singular, will make man, but Naase, let us make man. It says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to man and said, Naase Adam, ani v'ata naase otchel Adam, you and I will make you into a person, because it's through a person working hard that they're able to create themselves. But there's another understanding of Naase Adam, and that understanding is, how do we create ourselves? V'ata nefesh asher asu b'charan. It's by influencing others. It's by creating others. Ki Adam la'amal yulad 13b. Man was put in this world la'amal, to work hard. La'amal says the Avodas Yisrael is the stands for lilamed amen, lilmod amenat lilamed. La'amal, lilmod amenat lilamed, to learn in order to teach. You want to know really what Naase Adam, how do you make man? How do you create yourself? By influencing others. How do you create something great? By being able to share with others. And this is the mindset before the holidays. That as you're about to enter into the holiday season, on the one hand, Naase Adam, we have to improve. We have to take from the holiday season. On the other hand, as the holiday season approaches, recognize that it's not just about celebrating with yourself. The Rambam, as well as others, talks about sharing your Yontif meal with the aniyim, with the poor, making sure that you have what to give to others. It's not only about how can I enjoy, but how can I share with others, which helps us explain in 12b, which he spoke about many, many years ago, of why is the law of Peah and Leket found in the middle of the Chagim. Right, it's talking about the Chagim, and then it says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not remove completely the corners of your field. You shall give it to the poor, the proselyte. I am Hashem, your God. And then it goes on to say, in the seventh month, into Rosh Hashanah. What is the law of giving food for the poor doing here? So part of it is what we're speaking about right now. If you're going to celebrate holidays without having the poor in mind, if you're going to celebrate holidays without having how can I take from the holiday to impact others, so then you have it understand what the holiday is all about. Sitratka kareel. Life is about sharing. Life is about doing for others. Life is about creating for others, not only thinking about yourself. And that is why, as Rabbi Lev speaks about, to sum up the first level, the Jewish year is a cycle that we return to again and again, source 14. Starting from Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei and ending with the preparatory days of Elul. There's a purpose and meaning to this yearly cycle. Each Yontif has unique mitzvahs and customs that emphasize different qualities and attributes that define us as the Am HaNivchar, as the chosen special nation who are able to be the Mamlechus Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The cycle of the Yontif of the Amim Tavim renews and refreshes these attributes. Thus, we are the nation of God's personal servants, representative to the world through the totally sanctified lifestyle we are mandated to live by. The first level of how, why is this, the opening sentence, it's about perfecting ourselves. Sure, O Kesev, O Aves Ki Valei, look at these animals. And you say to yourself, these animals are born, and this is who they are. Ki Tov, that's it. Don't allow yourself to fall into that rut. Change. Allow the holidays to change. Allow Sfiras Omer if you try to change. Change in terms of yourself, in terms of growth, in terms of taking things on. The Yontif isn't over. The Yontif has been added to my repertoire. As well as, how do I look at this as opportunity of Naase Adam, of being able to share my Yontif table with others, being able to share the experience with others, being able to invite people in who may not know about Yontif, being able to share the experience with others. That is the mandate that we need to have to become Naase Adam, a complete person. That, my friends, is level one, about perfecting ourselves. Level two, perfect. Rav Freiman in Shari Derech points out in source 15, there are many halachas having to do with korbanos. And the Sforno brings down, ki atzur tamim pa'alo. Hashem likes things to be tmimus. Tmimus is whole, is perfect. V'shleimus hanikra v'makriv. That which is being offered and the one who offers it. And in that way, we resemble God as much as possible, who is the epitome of perfection. Our verse is a reflection of this. Balaturim explains, why is it that we're not allowed to slaughter an animal before the eighth day? Why must we wait 8 days? So the Balaturim explains, second paragraph of 15. Markash Baruch Hu, Hashem says, if you shecht the animal on the first day, it could be that you're shechting it to the heaven and the earth that were created on the first day. On the second day, it could be that you're shechting it to the firmament that was made on the second day. The third day, to the sea, and the dry land. The fourth day, to the luminaries. The fifth day, to the different animals. The sixth day, to Adam. Eliyam tim ad shiva yamim v'yeta shibarati olam b'sheshet yamim v'nachti b'shvi. Wait 7 days. Recognize that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Be able to have, when you shecht an animal, that firm amunah in place. Bishchat lishmi, and that way you will be able to elevate this animal completely for God's name. This is what we're talking about, that when we are talking about avodas Hashem b'shleimus, the entirety of the mitzvah has to be b'shleimus, to the point that my mindset has to be, this is for God only, without having a hava mina, without having even a thought. It's for any other purpose. Rav Lev, quoting this Fornell, notes that even though there are blemishes that are actually increased, source 16, the strength and value of an animal, they nevertheless render the animal unfit for sacrifice. Throughout the Torah we find completion and wholeness taking precedence over quantity. Thus a whole roll takes precedence over a much larger portion of a loaf of bread when we recite the Hamotzi. From this we learn that our avoda is measured not by quantity, but how close it comes to perfection. Since Hashem is the ultimate perfection, our goal must be also to achieve the greatest measure of perfection possible for a human being. For we are exhorted to emulate Him and to be complete with Him. Only by being as close to perfect as possible can we hope to have a relationship with Hashem. And that's why the Kohen, who's Hashem's representative, and the one most directly involved in His most exhausted service, he must reflect shleimus perfection, and therefore physical imperfections render a Kohen unfit for service in the sanctuary. And since death is the clearest sign of man's inherent imperfection, the Kohen is told to stay away from death. Our challenge is to try to reach the level of being as perfect as we can in our avodas hamitzvos, and in our mindset, as well as in the mitzvah itself. Rav Freiman, continuing in 17, has such a gevaldic insight, quoting the Balaturim, which I had never seen before, and it teaches you the depth and sensitivity of Yiddishkeit. We know that before a sacrifice was brought, you did smicha, you leaned on the animal and you confessed. So when it talks about the bakar, when it talks about the ox and those type of animals, it says, v'tzamach yadol rosh korbano, you shall lean your hand on top of the animal. But by tzon, by sheep, it says, v'tzamach et yadav rosh korbano, and you shall lean et. It adds that word et. So why do we have the word et added? Says the Balaturim, gefaldik. A bakar, an ox, a bull, you could put your full weight on that animal and confess. But a sheep is much weaker. Don't add your full weight. Do smicha, put your hands on it, but without your entire weight on it, because you want to have a mercy on this sheep, that you don't overburden it with your entire being. Adinut ha-nefesh hazu, this type of sensitivity, this type of awareness is chelik mishleimus maizak ravahi. It's part of the shleimus, it's part of the wholeness of bringing a korban. Shebiladeha adayin chaserimanu. If we were missing this, we'd be missing part of the Shleimus. Umikan lemeidim anu, from here we learn, continues Rav Freiman, Kikach ra'ui livchon kol davar mitzvah ledadeg b'mishkal hanitan l'chol prat mechalkav. Amenat shiteh ha'mitzuven naseh b'shleimus. Are we doing everything in the most sensitive, correct way possible to have this discernment, this understanding in everything we do? And that's why he gives that as an example. When you bench, bench from a sitter, because this is going to show you that you make sure you're not going to miss words. It's going to allow you to focus better. If you're already bench from a bencher, perhaps add putting your finger on the place so that you're able to focus. Find ways that you're able to do the mitzvah b'shleimus, because this is what our rabbis want from us. Ubazen nizkeh la'asig et shleimus ha'asaga v'amayla linchol b'chayei olam. This is what Hashem wants from us. And that's why Chazal tells us in 19 that whether one does more or less is insignificant. What one actually accomplishes in this world is in the hands of Hashem. The main consideration is that one direct and concentrate his heart towards heaven. What we can control is the intensity of our desire and purity of our effort in the quest for perfection. So on this level, this is the opening sentence to tell you wait 8 days. Why wait 8 days? Because that's going to be the perfection, the perfect, the shleimus of the mindset that you're doing it for Hashem, and there's no question about it that you have any other, you know, being or thing in mind that you are serving it to. And that when we are involved in the festivals and we're involved in the mitzvahs, make sure that they are done with this, right? Pre-Eitz Hadar, look for those perfect, the most beautiful, most unblemished lulav and esrog, hadassim, aruvos. You want to do it in the most beautiful way possible. Sukkah na, lulav na. This is the tmimus that we're looking for, the wholesomeness that we're looking for. But there's another aspect of this level of perfect, of tmimus, that's not only in the chafsa, it's not only in the object, it's not only the person doing it, it's even at a deeper level. And that's the idea that's related in our section, that the weeks of Sfira are called Sheva Shabbatos Tamimos. They are 7 weeks of perfection. So the Midrash comments at the end of 19, when are the days of the Omer perfect, complete? When we fulfill Hashem's will. It is the intensity of our quest for perfection in performing Hashem's will that infuses our counting of the Omer with added meaning and effectiveness. Rav Goldsmith, in Asufos Barachos, takes this idea of tmimus, of trying to create these 7 weeks to be as perfect as possible, and adds for us a dimension that is mamish a yesod, a fundamental idea in our Avodas Hashem. Well, to most of the sources outside, he bases it on the famous Medrash of the years of Sarah were 100 years, were 20 years, were 7 years, and the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Yodea Hashem Yemei Tmimim V'Nachlatam Lolam Tihyeh, that Hashem knows the days of the righteous are Tmimim, are whole, are perfect. And Rav Goldsmith, developing this idea, speaks about how do you have perfect years? Does anyone have all their years are perfect? So he explains that there's an idea of mindset that is applicable to one's life. And that idea, he says, is the idea of recognizing that we have to be able to give over our mindset to what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. Klomar, shelo haya lemeimad hazman shlita alav. It's about recognizing that time itself doesn't have an effect on any person. Kulan shavim l'tova, they were all for the good, like by Sarai Menu. Why? Because they are those who recognize that my life is about doing what is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on His terms, in His place. And this is the idea of the days before Sfiras HaOmer. They're the day of Sfiras HaOmer, before Shavuos. They're the days where we are preparing ourselves to receive the Torah. What should our mindset be at this time? The mindset should be the end of 22, Machnisa kol yamav v'rigyav shel adam tacha agderash shel holech l'dvar mitzvah. That if we understand that we are working on being able to accept, like the pasuk, Tamim teyem Hashem lokecha, walk with Hashem b'tmimos, don't ask questions. Recognize that whatever Hashem gives you, this is tailor-made for you to develop to your fullest, to be able to utilize to your fullest. And instead of asking, well, why this and why that and why are you doing this and what, be able to take it and develop it and move forward with it and recognize that Hashem is leading you mamish by the hand. When a person understands that their whole life is being led by Hashem, and they're able to accept that whatever happens, that's what it means by Sarei Menu, that her days were tmimim, kulam shavim latova. It wasn't about, well, God, why am I infertile for 90 years, and why did you take Yitzhak, and what? Tmimus, that I accept everything is kulam shavim latova. They're all for the good, because you recognize that kol David rachman latov avid. Whatever Hashem does is for the good, and everything Hashem does is perfect. So therefore, when you have this mindset of Nasa v'nishma, Hashem, I'm ready to listen to you on your terms, what you want from me, so then your whole life you're walking b'tmimus. Your whole life is as if you're walking to Dvar Mitzvah. Because whatever you're doing it because this is what Hashem wants from you. Hitalech l'fanai v'yetamim, that's what it's about. When I live a life saying, Hashem, I'm ready to do whatever comes my way, whatever you ask of me, whatever mitzvah it is, whatever opportunity it is, I'm ready to do, I'm ready to build, I'm ready to be your Eved on your terms, I'm not going to ask, well, why did you give me this and why that? Then whatever you're doing, you're involved in halicha l'dvar mitzvah. You're involved in walking for a dvar mitzvah. You're involved in the ultimate tmimos, the ultimate wholeness. It's the wholeness of following after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea of Shleimus. That when we talk about this pasuk being the opening pasuk, that your mind, when you bring a korban, has to be the perfect mindset. I'm doing it for Hashem. That's the way we have to live. And that's what Sfiras HaOmer is coming to teach us. And that's what all the holidays and all life is coming to teach us. Is that I have to live my life being ready to accept Hashem on His terms, whatever He tells me to do. Umikan yiftach lanu petach in Hay, in 25. Lavin maya tmimu sheyachasu chachamim losman. Shadam avakesh lashimet shnotab l'mo'am bavodat yito yitvarach. One who wants to fulfill his life in the service of God. L'lo nidnut shel pgam, without having any thing break this up. It's to be able to reach this level of hishtabdut m'le'ah tachar ol ha'avana ha'loki, being ready to do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks from us. And this, my friends, is really reflected, if it's true all year, and it's specifically true by this time of year of Sfiras HaOmer, preparing ourselves for this moment at Tzmimus, it's even more so by the Chagim. We say in the Musaf service, Vashev Kohanim Lavadotam Ulevi'im, we ask the Kohanim be returned to their service, and the Leviites to their song and music, and restore Israel to their dwellings, and there we will ascend and appear, V'nishtachaveh, before you, and prostrate ourselves before you during our three pilgrimages. What was so special about the Aliyah L'Regel is V'nishtachaveh. It's the Shtachavaya, is being able to bow down to Hashem on the Moed. And as Rabbi Katz points out in World Mask, the temple courtyard is close to the center of holiness. It's the site of meeting between the physical and the spiritual. It's a place of transcendence. And the sensitive ear will hear that this transcendence is revealed to human eyes when those humans engage in that which subjects the physical to the spiritual. It is when the people bow that the dimension of space opens and reveals more of its higher source. While standing, while in that posture that emphasizes human independence, the people are pressed together. But when they prostrated, in that posture that manifests total annulment of independent pride and acceptance of higher authority, they're not crowded at all. Space and the world melt away. This place, in essence, is a place where all physicality bows to its source. The proper attitude is annulment of self, prostration before the source of the world. And that's why the first time the Beis HaMikdash is revealed is when Avraham Avinu does the Akedah that says, Vaniva nar nachad ko v'nishtachaveh v'nashuva lechem. The idea of the Beis HaMikdash, the idea of the Aliyah L'Regel, the idea of Rosh Hashanah, which is connected to the Akedah, is the idea of the binding of Isaac, is the idea of being able to bow, the idea of annulment, the idea of being able to subject our mindset to a higher level, to the will of Hashem. So my friends, on the first level, this pasuk is telling us about searching, about perfecting ourselves, trying to work on ourselves. The second aspect is to look at life bishleimos. How can I do the mitzvot in the most perfect way possible? How can I create the perfect mindset? And that is by recognizing it has to be for Hashem, both the offering of the sacrifice, wait 8 days, as well as, my friends, recognizing that the holidays is about, in the mindset of Sirasa Omer and in life, is about Tamimus, of Sari Menu, of Kulan Shavim Latova, being able to accept whatever Hashem gives us as part of His larger plan. If we've done perfecting and perfect, we're now up to perfection itself. The Shemin HaTovah of Weinberger from Brooklyn notes the following. There's a medrash that says that why is it that the animal has to wait 8 days? Kach amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, lo taviu lefanai korban, don't bring for me a sacrifice, ad shetavur alav Shabbat, until this animal has seen a Shabbos. Just like you don't give a baby a bris milah until it's seen a Shabbos as well, the whole idea of the Suda of a Shalom Sachar. Because the idea of Shabbos is the idea of recognizing that Hashem runs the world. It's the idea of recognizing of the Tachlis Sabriya. It's the Emunah. It's the faith that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Unless you have that Emunah down pat, you cannot possibly bring a korban. And indeed, the article Torah Chumash in 29 quotes this. Just as Shabbat must go before a boy is circumstanced, an animal must live through a Shabbat before it can be used for a sacred purpose, because it bears testimony to God as the Creator. The Shabbat gives spiritual validity to the entire universe. So on the one hand, this group of psukim is coming to teach us the beauty of Shabbos, the importance of Shabbos. And again, this would help us explain why when the Chumash opens up, these are the Mikrai Kodesh, the special days, it begins with Shabbos. Is Shabbos indeed a special day? The answer is yes. Because Shabbos is what gives the sanctity for all the other days. And indeed, to a certain extent, this idea of the primacy of Shabbos is reflected in the Lekach Valipov, who notes a fantastic idea in source number 30, where he says that the Gemara talks about the idea that God's presence has not left the Jewish people even on a Shabbos during the week. So Rav Shur brings down the Lekach Valibov. There are different interpretations of what does that mean, a Shabbos in the middle of the week. The classic one is someone who's lost in the desert and doesn't know when Shabbos is. You count 6 days and the seventh day is Shabbos. So it could be a Wednesday that's a Shabbos. You know, Wednesdays or Sundays, the ice cream, this is Wednesday is Shabbos. We'll have to. But he says on a much deeper level, it's referring to as well, if the sanctity of Shabbos is so great, there is the idea that Sfiras HaOmer is the Sheva Shabbatos Tamimos. It's 7 complete weeks. It's 7 Shabboses. And the Lekach Valibov notes in 30 and 31, a gevaldic idea, what Shabbos shall call. When we start counting, we could start, let's say, on a Tuesday, right? And then 7 days later is 1 week of the Omer. We have as if created a seventh day that's not Shabbos, it's Tuesday. But that Tuesday takes on second paragraph in the Aaron 30, second column, second paragraph. Shetamin bimei asfira yom hashvi yesh ba kedushas Shabbos. Aval hi Shabbos shel chol. You can have a Shabbos on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, whenever Sfira begins. But that day takes on all of Sfira. Sheva Shabbatel has a Bechina, has an aspect of Shabbos. But even more so, the seventh day has to be treated with a higher level of Kedusha. The Chazal Gilulanu Ki Yeshba Kedusha, the Yeshba Hashra Hashchina. There is a certain amount of Ashra Shechina on the seventh day of the Sfira. So on the most simplest level, the idea of perfection is that every experience of greatness has to go through a Shabbos, because Shabbos gives its vitality, Shabbos gives its energy, and the whole idea of the Mo'atim begins with Shabbos, and the whole idea of Sfira Omer revolves around Shabbos. But my friends, there's a much deeper idea I think we can understand in this third level of perfection. And that's the idea that the Talei Chaim, Rav Chaim HaKohen HaChalban, notes in 32 through 37 on this page, and we'll just highlight some ideas. He talks about, in Parshat Shmini, the numbers 6, 7, and 8. 6, we know, is this world, right? A cube, 6 sides, and it represents the physicality of this world. 7, we know, is ma'al la'olam hazeh. It's something that's not bounded by this world, and yet is somehow connected to this world. And 8 is shlemala megvulos hazman merchav olam hazeh, is completely not connected. Habchina shmini hi ur elyon shlemala miyicholat achla shalom hazeh. The 8th day can't even be contained in this world. So let's explain. 6, as we know, we don't need to explain that, is clearly the 6 dimensions of this world. 32, double underlined in the middle, Habchina Shvi is Mechuvenet, the 7th, is connected to the Nekudat HaMerka Shemimena Nimshachim Kol Sheshet HaKsavot. So if you have a cube, where does 7 fit in? There's no room for 7. 7 is the center. 7 gives the Chiyus, HaLokit HaNichneset L'Toch Merchav HaOlam HaZeh MeChayeto. 7 gives the energy force for all 6 days. Like we know, as far as we speak about, the Or Chaim HaKadosh mentions at length that Shabbos gives the Kedusha for the whole week. Shabbos is what creates the week. That's why we have to say Shabbos HaGadol before Pesach, Shabbos Shuvah before Yom Kippur, Shabbos Chatan, or Ufruf, because it gives you the chayus of the week. Kedusha Yerushalayim is like the Kedusha of Shabbos. It fuels, it creates, it energizes the entire world. So if 6 is this world, 7 is what energizes and fuels this world. It's the center of the 6. Shabbos is really the center of the week in terms of giving the energy for the week. What is 8? 8 is Habchina Shminit Hamayimad Shelamala Mikidrei Olam Hazeh. It's above this world. It can't even be reflected in this world. It's the Or of the Olam Haba. It's the light of the next world that is above time and place of this world. It is very much about, just taking this a little bit deeper, 34, the idea of Yovel. Right? Yovel is, after 7 rounds of Shemitah, and each year of Shemitah is the 7th year, 7 times 7 is 49. So after 7 Shemitahs, the 50th year, which is the idea of 8, above the 7, everyone goes back to their home. All the slaves go free. The land goes back. It's the idea of returning back to the core. It's no longer part of this world. It's like restarting this world. He quotes the idea. It's the idea of tshuva. It's the idea of Yom Kippur, which is found in our section. It's the sodo pnimi. It's the inner essence of what it's about. Hamahud v'ashorish shel kol inyan ha'elu hi hasheva v'ashlama v'metukenet. It's about going back to the source. The Medrash says Hashem created 7 worlds before our world. The reason our world could be sustained, because of the idea of tshuva. if 7 represents the neshama, 8 represents the higher level of the neshama of going back to self. And that's why he notes in 36, this is a very deep idea, but I'll present it, is that our world is a world of bechira, a world of free choice, where we choose to do mitzvos. When we give a child a bris milah on the 8th day, the child has no choice, right? It's not asked, would you like a bris milah today? No. Why? Because the 8th day of the child is above bechira. It's done without choice. Because this is the mitzvah which is in the Shama Halyona, is a higher level. This mitzvah represents the way mitzvos will be, Lasi Lavo, in the future, when that 8th dimension will come down to our world, which we can't hold now. It's when we'll do mitzvos without a bechira, without free choice, because this will be the way things are done. Because our neshama elyona, our higher selves, our the loftier selves, will be the ones who are going to be in control. The baby having a bris milah without his free choice is symbolic of the 8th day, which is symbolic of the 8th, what the 8 represents of above this world, which is the future time, which is what Sfiras HaOmer is about as well in 37. The Or HaShmona Bamin La'ila Al Kli Muchan Mitkan. We can only prepare the 7. We can only prepare this world and the Kedusha as much as possible, counting 7 by 7. But the experience of Shavuos itself, the experience of Hashem coming down with His great energy of Matan Torah, is not something that we can do ourselves. It has to come from above. And that's why Moshe Shapiro in Afike Yam points out in Source 40 that Sfiras HaOmer ends, culminates in Shavuos. But when we didn't have a calendar, Shavuos could have been the 5th day, the 6th day, the 7th day. It doesn't have a set day in the Jewish calendar, Shavuos. Why? Because it doesn't come from this world. This world is time. It comes from a dimension beyond time. And that's why when we count Sfiras HaOmer, we count Shnei Yomim LaOmer. It's not today's the 2nd day, right? Hayom Yom Sheni, but Yom Shnei Yomim LaOmer. I've added 2 days to Omer. I've added 23 days. Each day is added to the next to create something that will lead to day 50, which is above and out of this world. Ad Shamispar in 39a, Atzmo. It's beyond something in this world. Why? Because you can't have Torah in a world of Teva, in a world of nature. You have to create Torah in a world that's above the natural world. How do we create the acceptance of Torah beyond the natural world? We prepare the vessel of 7 by 7, 7 days, 7 weeks, and then the 50th day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down. If we understand, my friends, now let's try to bring this all together. If we understand that 8 represents perfection, 8 represents the future world, 8 represents when everything goes back to its source, the Yovel, the Yom Kippur, the Bris Milah, it's doing things because we understand that this is God's will, it's the essence of us, it's Shavuos, which is receiving the Torah. It's nothing that has to do with us. It can't be confined to our time. When the Torah tells us that the animal has to be in this world for 8 days, it's telling us that this animal, when it's brought as a sacrifice, once it hit days 8, and now when it is going to be given as a sacrifice, it now has the ability to enter into this dimension of above time and place. A korban, an animal, changes its entire being when it is brought as an animal. An animal can't be brought before the 8th day, because 8 allowed, you need 8 days to happen in an animal's life to enable it to go through this transformation. What's this transformation? So it's the Gevaldik Chiddush. Let's take a look in the Shemen HaTovah of Weinberger in 41. Aval kishadam mafrisha beima liyo korban l'shem. When a person separates an animal to be a sacrifice, asu machnisa tabeima l'madrega shalma l'mabriya, He enters this animal into a realm outside of creation, the concept of eight, the world of perfection. It becomes holy. There's a gevalde chiddush of Fasemis mentions in Parashat Sachrei Mot. On the Isur shel shchutei chut, shloi via korban lifnei mishkan Hashem. Let's say you take an animal and you say this is going to be a korban and you a sacrifice and you offer it outside the temple. Dam yechashev la'ishahu dam shafach v'nichrat ha'nefeshahu. You are cut off. It's as if you spilled blood. It's as if that you offered a sacrifice outside the Beis HaMikdash. It's as if you killed somebody. Why? It sounds so bizarre. It's just an animal, so you sacrificed it outside Yerushalayim. So says the Sfasemesh, D'nitkate shabahema lit'alo l'mala ma'ateva. The animal changes levels. It goes beyond the level of an animal. The nechshav ka'adam ha'medaber. This is a gaval, the chiddush. We know there's a tzomeach, there's a domain, inanimate tzomeach, the vegetative world, the chai, the animal world, and the medaber, the world of speaking. We generally think you can't move from one level to another. This is the chiddush. Once an animal has lived 8 days, it has moved from the world of the teva, the natural, to the world of the eight, which is lamala min ha-teva. And in that world, the animal that is consecrated has moved to the dimension on some level of humans, and it's considered as if you spilled blood. And likewise, when a child enters into a bris milah, it's not just a regular child, it's moved into a higher level of Kedushas Yisrael. And this explains the next section that we read before the Moadim, and that is Kiddush Hashem. How is it possible for a person to die O Kiddush Hashem for the sanctification of God's name? Aren't our lives so precious to us? What could be more precious? The answer is a dimension of eight. The dimension above time and place. The dimension of recognizing our higher spirit. The dimension of moving us beyond ourselves to that higher level of the eighth day, of the 50th year, of the Yovel, of the Matan Torah, of the ability to recognize that there's a higher essence of self than we even realize of ourselves. It's only with that mindset in mind that there is this idea of transcendence. There is this world of perfection. There is this world that doesn't only exist by time and space, but that we have to remove from time and space into a higher dimension, that we're then able to walk into the holidays. And now I am able to celebrate the holidays on a whole different level. It's not just Sukkot and Shavuos down here in this world. It's experiencing holidays in a way of connecting to God that moves me beyond the here and now. That my challenge is to take this level of perfection, this level of transcendence, this level of above and beyond, this level which is my higher soul, and see how am I able to connect it to the experiences down here in this world. How can I take the holiday experiences and be able to elevate them to a higher dimension? It is no accident that there are seven psukim that introduce our section before we begin about the holidays. It's as if the seven is this world. The holidays move us, verse 8, into that higher dimension. And likewise, as Rav Lef notes in Festivals of Life, thus in this world we have a total of seven Yamim Tovim, including the rabbinical Yamim Tovim. We have Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is five, Chanukah and Purim make seven. They serve as the completion of the physical world that was created in 7 days and is represented by the number seven. When Mashiach comes, we all have an eighth yontif, eight representing that which is beyond the natural world, the world of eight, where our cycle of Yamim Tovim will finally be complete. And therefore, my friends, in summation, what we've tried to see today is that when our rabbis choose what a Kriyas HaTorah, what should be the reading of a Torah for a yontif, it's not by accident. They happen to have chosen from this place. It is a directive for us on perfecting, perfect and perfection. On the first level, look at those animals, see, an animal is an animal, it's an animal. But you can change. You can grow. You can become different. You have to become different. Nasa Adam, in terms of your own spiritual growth, don't allow the holiday to be over. Allow it to resonate within you. Allow yourself to find the matmonim, the memtetmonim, the spiritual reservoirs and treasure houses. Take a look for opportunities to grow during Sfira and grow. To perfect yourself in Sfira, perfect yourself. Let's try to find each day one area where you don't say something, you don't see something. Work on shining yourself, polishing yourself every day. As well as Nasa Adam, the Tanefesh Asher Suba Haran, affecting others, teaching others. That's level one. Level number two, perfect. We want to have as shlemus as possible. We're into shlemus. Try to matatio deo, to have our mitzvos done as perfect as possible. Don't lean fully on a sheep. It's too painful for it. Try to be as sensitive as possible in doing the mitzvos. Recognize that the time of Sfiras Omer is a time to work on shlemus as much as we can in doing the mitzvos, as well as our mindset that our days should be tamimim, that we're ready to have bittul, subjugate our mindset to Hashem and whatever He wants throughout the period of Sfiras Omer and throughout the period of our lives. The times of Yantif was a time of nishtachaveh, of bowing, of annulling our egos and our will to a higher will. And in that place, there was plenty of room for everybody to bow. Standing, omdim sufi, but bowing, they had plenty of room. And finally, the eight, that it had to be with its mother for 8 days, represents perfection. It's teaching us on one level, yes, it has to see the Shabbos and the importance of Shabbos, and how there's a kedusha of every seventh day of the Omer, and Shabbos of every day of the Omer, a certain aspect. But even higher than that, there has to be the kedusha of eight before you bring a korban, because the korban changes with the number eight. Eight is a dimension outside of this world. It's the bris mila. It's without bechira, without free choice. It's that higher soul returning back to Yom Kippur, the core, the yovel, to our inheritance, which is our higher elemental soul, a time of no bechira. We have to be able to be aware of this reality, that we don't only live in six and seven. There is an element of eight. And when I live a life of recognizing that there's a world of perfection, and I yearn for this level of perfection, and I yearn for this level of transcendence, that everything that I do down here has transcendence. The animal transcends to the level of Medaber. The human transcends to the level of Yisrael. And we can take the mundane lives of a citron, a myrtle branch, and we can elevate it to higher levels of perfection. That's the koach of eight. That's the koach, the power that Hashem has put in each and every one of us. And my blessing to all of us is that we should live our lives perfecting perfect perfection.